All right, take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 9, the book of Nehemiah and chapter 9. And we'll get there in just a moment. The month of November is really known for Thanksgiving for the most part, and it's always good to have something that, helps our mind to focus on being thankful. Thanksgiving is probably one of my favorite, if not the favorite, holiday for that very reason. But you know, Thanksgiving ought to be a lifestyle. It ought not to be just something that we do once a year, but it really ought to be a regular part of our life that we are just known as thankful people and regularly giving thanks unto the Lord for many things. But we ought to thank the Lord, and we ought to praise, and we ought to be known as people of praise. And the Psalms tell us that when we enter into the courts of God, we ought to enter His courts with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And one way of helping to develop and cultivate that kind of an attitude of heart is to remember and recall the past blessings of God and how He deals with us. And it can help us and cultivate us to be thankful unto the Lord. And so easily we forget, amen, all the benefits of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that daily He loadeth us with benefits. And the mercies of God are new to us every morning. And His faithfulness is great. And there's just so much that God does and gives, because He's a giving God, and we so easily forget. And we'll have a tendency to complain or to whine and not have the right attitude unto the Lord. And in this passage of Scripture tonight, this chapter opens up with a great day of fasting and humiliation, humbling of themselves, really. Israel had broken their unholy alliances with the heathen of the land. You'll find that they're making public confession of sins in this passage. The book of the law is read for part of the day. And another part of the day, people were confessing and worshiping the Lord. And then comes the call in verse 5 for the people to stand up and bless the Lord their God forever and ever. Verse 5 says, "Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah," and then that last guy there, "said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." Here we find that the Levites call the people to praise and to worship the Lord. And I want us to read through this passage here tonight, review some of this, how God dealt with the nation of Israel, and look at some powerful reasons why these people were called to stand up and bless the Lord, and then also consider them as good reasons why we also should bless the Lord and be thankful people tonight. And I want to just take a few minutes and focus on the Lord and praise Him tonight and remember again that He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Let's look in verse 1. "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God." We skip down to the middle part of verse 5, and here they call again for the people to stand up and bless the Lord their God forever and ever. And they said, "Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone.
Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners. So they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiplied. Thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess. So their children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduedest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and oliveyards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Here in this chapter again, we find that the people had been reading and hearing of the great things that God had done for their fathers, and what it did when they were reminded of all that God had done for the nation of Israel. It stirred up their soul, and it caused them, the leaders, to tell the people, you need to stand up and you need to bless the Lord for all of His goodness toward you. God is mighty to save. He's gracious and merciful. He's abundantly good. All of these things are contained in this passage. And it's basically just a review of the past and some powerful reasons why these people should thank the Lord and bless the Lord. And I want us to look at some of these. We don't have time to look at them all. There's many in this passage, but I want to look at some of them and consider them as good reasons why we should also bless the Lord. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, help us, Lord, to think tonight and to just meditate on your goodness to us and how you deal with us, and Lord, how bountiful your blessings are, but how gracious and merciful you are in spite of our unfaithfulness and
sometimes even the hardness of heart and stiff neck and rebellion that we show to you, and how, Lord, you dealt so kindly and graciously with the nation of Israel, and Lord, you do the same for us. And it ought to be a reason for us to say thank you and to honor you, to worship you, and to praise your name, and to stand up and bless the Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us tonight with these things and just cause us to think for a little while on you. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing that I want to draw out to you tonight, reasons why we should thank the Lord and praise the Lord, is because in verse 6 we find that He's the God of creation. He's the Almighty, all-powerful God. Verse 6 says, "Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee." The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Here we find that the hosts of heaven worship the Lord. God's creation that we don't even fathom, that we can't even fully comprehend, that we don't even know about, all of it worships the Lord and declares the glory of God. What glory? It declares His greatness. It declares His wisdom. It declares His power. It declares His majesty. The Bible says that the earth showeth forth His handiwork. How does the earth show forth God's handiwork? Well, in its variety, in its perfection, as far as the nature of things go, and the instinct in animals, it's just, you can't help but look at all of these things that are exhibited in nature and not see the handiwork of God, the majesty, the glory of God. Let's just look at a few passages. They're familiar to you, but it's always good to reread them. Psalm 19. Turn over there with me. Psalm 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." So here we find that the heavens are declaring God's glory. The firmament is demonstrating, showing God's handiwork. There's a speech that's being said. There's knowledge that's being demonstrated. Verse 3 says, "There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Means all of the world knows. There's not a tongue or a people that doesn't understand or can't understand or comprehend that there's a God who created all of this, an all-powerful God. "Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth that's a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple." And he goes on and talk about the statutes of the Lord and the fear of the Lord and all of these things, and how it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. All of these things speak to the majesty and the power of God. We can look over in Psalm 8. We just were in this psalm not that long ago. In Psalm 8 and verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." What does it produce? Looking at all that God has created, it should produce humility in the heart and mind of man. Psalm 33 says in verse 6, Psalm 33, 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up in the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let all the world and all the people of the earth fear the Lord and stand in awe of Him." How much more should God's people,
who know Him, who love Him, who've been blessed by Him, who've been saved, how much more ought we to praise the Lord? We can read on in several other places. I'll just look at one more, Psalm 148. Psalm 148 in verse 3. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. God simply spoke a word, and we've spoken much on this in the last couple of weeks. But the truth of the matter is, God is awesome, and God is great, and God is powerful, and it does us well to examine His creation and just think and meditate on Him and His goodness and His greatness and His power and His majesty. Why? Because it causes us to see and get a good reflection of who we are. I love those times when we can be out in nature and we can just be alone and be quiet and look and listen. I love those times to be able to sit by a fire at night and just look at the stars. It causes my thoughts to turn to the Lord. And I love to read in the Scriptures. Remember in Job 38 where God is challenging Job, who is getting just a little bit self-righteous at the time. When God challenges Job and He says, "Where were you, Job, when I did all of these things?" And He goes through that whole list, just example after example of creation, just showing Job, again, a revelation of who he was. And the response from Job was, "I put my hand on my mouth. I'm not going to speak another word." Job was humbled when God laid out for him the wonders of His great creation. And we have the tendency, friends, to be proud. We have the tendency to live our lives like we've got it all figured out or like it's my own. And we cease to give praise to God when we're not humble before Him. And it would do us well to just regularly meditate on the immensity of God and His creation and the greatness of God, just so we can have the proper opinion of ourselves. Why would God create 350 billion galaxies with billions and billions of stars in every galaxy? I was just reading today. It makes me chuckle sometimes. But I was just reading today about there's this big article about how there's just this a lot of excitement going on around NASA and so on, because they're planning on and they anticipate putting man on Mars in 20 more years. How many decades has this been going on? Ever since man was able to set foot on the moon, you know, space is that unknowable final frontier that we keep trying to discover more and more of. And we see some pretty brilliant and amazing things with the Hubble telescope and the new technologies that they have that just can look, you know, millions and millions of light years out into space, and how in 20 years... we plan to put man on Mars, and they're studying, you know, the atmosphere, and they get so excited because you can look and see that, oh, it looks like there's a dried up riverbeds and so on the surface of Mars, and the atmosphere is not livable, and they go into this article about all the things that are going to have to be done. And I somewhat chuckle at the folly of man and the aspirations of mankind. And why don't people look at this kind of stuff and start to feel very small and very puny compared to what we already know is out there? You know, the aspiration is, oh, look at the great accomplishment. We're going to do this. When in reality, we look out, we see that this is unfathomable. How did this get here? It can't happen by a big bang that doesn't even comprehend with science and so on. There has to be a God. But why would He do that? Why would he create 350 billion or who knows how many more? But at least that's what the numbers they say, at least they know of. 350 billion. Can't even comprehend that number. That's just galaxies and billions and billions and billions of stars inside of all of those galaxies. And God names them all. Has a purpose. Maybe it's just simply so that they continue to worship the Lord. The heavens worship the Lord. I'm simply saying that it would do us well to regularly meditate on the immensity of God and His greatness, just so we can have the right opinion of ourselves. Because we live so proudly and so self-righteously, as if we have some control over things and power of our own. That's how man lives. And sometimes God's people can get to be the same way, and we cease to give praise to God when we're not humble before Him. The call in Nehemiah's day, if you go back there to chapter 9, in verse 5, was that the people stand up and bless the Lord. And the very first thing that they bring out is that thou, even thou, art Lord alone. God said, there's none like me. And He's not going to share His glory with anyone else. And they talk about how God made the heavens and the hosts and all the things that are in. He preserves them all in the host of heaven. They worship the Lord. This is a good reason for us to praise the Lord as well. Because He's God. Amen. He's the God of creation. He's all powerful, almighty. We move on. We could talk more about that, I suppose, but for the sake of time, let's just move to verses 7 and 8. And we find another reason. Verse 7, they said, Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and brought us him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave us him the name of Abraham and found us his heart faithful before thee and made us to covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. God is righteous, and He's also a God of grace. Verse 7 said that thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram. God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, yes. And by faith, Abram went out. But it was only by the grace of God that Abram was chosen in the first place. It was only by the grace of God that Abraham was given such a blessing and such an heritage and so on. And the point is, for the sake of time, God is so gracious to sinful men. God is so gracious to us as sinful mortals. And only by His grace do we have the opportunity to be saved. Amen? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved. That completely changes our life and gives us new meaning and purpose. Where would any of us be today if it weren't for the grace of God in our life? When was the last time that you praised the Lord for His grace? His unmerited favor. The grace that He's shown in your life. I think that many times we just don't even take time to ponder it. But God is very gracious to me. And I am so unworthy. And I should be so thankful. And praise Him. They're told to stand up and bless the Lord. He's a gracious God. Verse 9 says, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea. You know, here's another reason to be thankful and to praise the Lord, because He's a God who answers prayer. Think about that. If we didn't have prayer as a normal part of our Christian life, if we didn't have the knowledge that we could come before our Heavenly Father, if we didn't have the comfort that brings, to our life to just be able to, in a second, in a moment, turn to the Lord and talk to Him and to know that He hears our cry. It becomes, for me, it becomes something that it's just like a normal, it's such a normal thing. In any given moment, in any given situation, I can turn to the Lord, and often I do. Lord, I need Your wisdom right now. Lord, I need Your help with this. Lord, I need You. Lord, I need Your grace. Help me. We do this so regular that we sometimes take it for granted. What if we didn't have that? All through the nation of Israel's history, we see them being blessed of God, then turning their back on God, finding themselves in the midst of trial because of their rebellion. And as soon as they humbled themselves and started to cry unto the Lord, He heard their cry and He answered their prayer. He saw their affliction in Egypt, the Bible says. He heard their cries of despair. He delivered them. And you know what? He's still the same God who hears His people when we pray. You know, God sees and knows our afflictions. He knows our needs. He hears our cries. And what a blessing and what a great God He is because of it. You know, God's ear never becomes weary. You think about it. The times that we ask for things, maybe selfishly, the times that we whine about our lot, about our trials. And God doesn't get weary. His ear does not become heavy through weariness. You know, sometimes parents can get weary of listening to their children, but God doesn't. And the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We don't have the time to look at all the scriptures in regards to the Lord bending His ear to us, answering our cry. But it is something we should definitely praise Him for. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 11 with me quickly here. Hold your place. In Luke chapter 11, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise, give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The next couple of verses go on to talk about how a father would deal with his own son. But then in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Thank the Lord, praise the Lord, that we have Him to turn to and that He's a God who hears our cry and answers our prayer. Looking back in our text, in verses 10 through 12, we find that He's a God of deliverance. Verse 10 said, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Here they're reminded of the fact that He saved them from their enemy and led them forth in a new way and upon dry ground. They were led with a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. All of those things were manifestations of God and His presence and His deliverance on their behalf. And let me ask you the question, how often do we thank the Lord for the leadership of the Spirit of God in our lives? The Lord often delivers us just by simply guiding us and keeping us from making some really bad mistakes. The devil is our enemy. He wants to destroy us, and so many times we are spared from our own bad decisions and the consequences of those decisions, simply because God is a God of deliverance. And He knows the way that we take. What a blessing that we're not left to our own devices. Amen. God delivered His people, and they're reminded of that, and they ought to praise the Lord and bless the Lord because of how He has delivered them. This is one of my favorites here in verses 16 to 19. We'll skip on down here for the sake of time. Verse 16, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to Thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of Thy wonders that Thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they made a molten calf, and said, This is Thy God that brought Thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet Thou, in Thy manifold mercies, forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go." Another reason why the people were encouraged to stand up and bless the Lord is because He was a God who was long-suffering and merciful. And it's another reason why we ought to thank the Lord. Amen. We read and hear how we see how they tempted God in the wilderness. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They were hard-hearted. They made a molten calf, and they dishonored and disgraced the Lord. They said, "This is Thy God." Yet in all of those things, they are reminded of the fact that God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. Even when they were disobedient and refused to obey, they were forgetful, and that they weren't mindful of His wonders. How could they forget? They were rebellious, they were idolatrous. And yet, the Bible says here that in His manifold mercies, He was a God ready to pardon. He was gracious, He was merciful, He was slow to anger, and He was of great kindness. Instead of answering their ingratitude and their unbelief with judgment, He added mercy upon mercy upon mercy and gave them of His Spirit to direct them and lead them. Man, as far as grace and mercy were concerned, they didn't lack, did they? And I would simply say that He is so much the same with us. You know how often we fail. I know how often I do. The times that I am so forgetful of God's blessings to me. The times I get a little stubborn and rebellious. The times that I give in to my flesh and let it control me rather than the Lord. And He's ready to forgive. He's ready to lift up if we respond to Him correctly. What a great and merciful God He is. He is so worthy to be praised. When was the last time you thanked the Lord and praised Him for His mercy, for His grace? As the people read in the book of the law that day, of all the marvelous goodness of their God in the past, the leaders, their hearts began to burn within them. And no wonder, because they're recalling all of this goodness of the Lord. And they challenge the people. People, stand up and bless the Lord. Remember this. Sometimes our hearts are irresponsive to all the manifestations of God's grace toward us in Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to remember. Remember how much He loves us. Remember His goodness and His mercy and His grace toward us. Remember who He is. And then simply stand up and bless the Lord. Amen. Let me testify to you of the goodness of God in my life. You know what? I want to be someone who is characterized as somebody who is thankful to the Lord.
That ought to be a desire of our heart. And I would simply ask you tonight, even as we're finishing up and we're closing, just take a minute. Just take a minute and count your blessings. Take a minute and think on the goodness of God in your life. Don't walk away from here tonight unfazed, unchallenged. If you do, shame on you, because we have so much to thank the Lord for. Amen? Let's just honor the Lord. Let's just take a minute, thank Him, praise Him. We're not going to have our piano player come. We're just going to pray, have a few minutes of silence. And can you worship the Lord tonight in your heart? Can you thank Him for His goodness to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close here tonight, it's just good for us to meditate on the Lord and recall and recount our blessings. Maybe it's blessings that You have abundantly bestowed on this church over the many years. Maybe it's personal things in our life. Maybe it's recalling, where would I be without the Lord and His goodness in my life? Maybe it's remembering all the times that in stubbornness and rebellion, I failed You. All the times that I've forgotten Your goodness to me and I've gone astray, following after my flesh. Maybe it's just taking a minute to recall that the mercies of God are new every morning. And we are so richly blessed in this country and we have so much stuff. It's just demonstrations of the good, gracious, loving, kind God that we have. And Lord, I pray that You would, in these moments of quiet as we are reflecting, Lord, just cause our hearts to burn within us to say thank You, Lord. We love You tonight. And we do thank You, most of all for Christ and for salvation, to have our sins forgiven. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.